It's great to be home and great to be here and share this Sabbath day with you. I thought for the sermonette message, I would give you a little report on where I was last Sabbath. You might be interested to know it, because I think it indicates kind of what is happening in a lot of places around the world in God's church. I'll start out by telling you I was on a Lux Express bus. Now, the Lux Express bus is a huge, very beautiful bus, the likes of which I don't even think we ever see around here, as far as the length and the color and the niceties of the bus from the outside. However, I was riding from Tartu, Estonia, to Riga, Latvia, a ride of about 4 hours, which I started out at about 6:30 in the evening, and was expecting to arrive in Latvia about 10:30, which was about sundown there at that time. And when I saw the bus that I was going to be on, I thought this was going to be really nice. But something about the suspension system on that bus and the roads in Latvia didn't make it so much fun. It was one of the roughest rides I have ever taken. I was bouncing, and I thought I would be able to sleep part of the way on the bus. I hadn't slept very much the night before, and so I was hoping to be able to get some rest on the bus, but between the roads and along the way, we would come to these, every little village that we passed through, it seemed like they have what we used to call, at least in our area, traffic circles. There they call them roundabouts. But the bus was about two times as long as you could spin it around that circle where the roundabout was. And so that added to the difficulties, and they just about throw you against the side of the bus as they tried to do that. It reminded me of the ones we have in Elmira. Now, where we go to services, there's these roundabouts. I guess it was a shovel-ready project in Elmira. They had to find somewhere to spend some money in order to stimulate the economy. So they put these little, they built up about a 4-inch speed bump, essentially, in the middle of the road. But it's circular in an intersection, just barely enough room for a vehicle to pass between that circle and the corner of the curb whenever you go around it. So that was kind of what it was like going there. But going and coming was not the big important part of the trip. That's just introductory toward what I thought I would tell you here in this sermonette. Why did I go to Riga? I went to Riga to visit Russian-speaking Sabbath keepers. And this may seem a little strange to you, since I don't speak a word. Well, I speak one or two words of Russian. Spatsiba, which means thank you. Da, which means yes. And if you listen to a conversation in Russian, somebody's always saying, da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. It's like a machine gun almost going off, where they're saying, yes, 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 yes. And the other one I know is niet, which means no. So that's about the extent of my Russian vocabulary. But these Sabbath keepers there had come to Smiltana last October, and I had spoken in Smiltana, so they had invited me to come to Riga, which I intended to try and do on the last trip, didn't make it. And here the last weekend, before returning home, we had arranged, along with Artur Alexandrov, who's done some special music, as you saw. He arranged it. He's Russian. He speaks Russian. He claims that's his first language. I'm not sure that there can be a lot of distinction between his Russian and his English, because he's very, very good in English, too. And he's very good in Estonian. And so he arranged it, and I wouldn't have been able to go without Artur, because when they asked me to come and speak, but they wouldn't understand a word of what I said, and I wouldn't understand a word of what they said, except for this fixture standing here beside me, translating every word in such a way that they could hear it. And so that's kind of what the trip was really all about, to speak to these Russian-speaking Sabbath keepers. Along those lines, I thought of Acts 10, verse 35, which assures us, that God has men in every nation. And you know, it wasn't so long ago that we thought, there was hardly anybody in Russia that wasn't an atheist. But, you know, here we find these pockets of Russian-speaking Sabbath keepers all over Eastern Europe and in Russia itself as well. And there's quite a lot going on there. So I thought about that particular scripture. God has men in every nation, whether we know who they are or not. And I think it's important for us to realize and recognize that, as we do in the United Church of God. We don't think we're the only ones on the face of the whole earth, as some Church of God groups seem to think. But there they were. And questioning, I'm going to go there and I'm going to speak to them. Artur calls me with one day's notice. What am I going to speak to these people about? I said, Artur, did the pastor, Pastor Benjamin is his name, did he have any suggested topic for me that he would like for me to speak about? Artur said, well, I don't know. They seem to like the Sermon on the Mount a lot. He said, but I'll call Pastor Benjamin and ask him. Pastor Benjamin calls back and says, tell him to speak about anything that's on his heart. So, you might, some of you, realize that I have spoken about the Beatitudes rather extensively. And I knew that a topic of concern among them was the Holy Days, whether or not to keep the Holy Days. And these are... There's a striving back and forth and a contention between these Sabbath-keeping groups who are not sure that the Holy Days are not just something for the Jews. So, having correlated every one of those Beatitudes that begin the Sermon on the Mount with a Holy Day, now I can't go through all of those. You know, each one of those is a sermon topic in itself when you break it down. But in at least introducing the concept to them, if they like the Sermon on the Mount so much, they got to be very familiar with the Beatitudes. If I can show them a concept that you can correlate each one of these Beatitudes, there are eight of them, to the Passover and the Holy Days, this may get me thrown out of the place, or it may be meaningful to them, because it was not going to be hard for me to prepare for that. And so I thought, okay, that's what I'll do. When we got to Ivan's house, they were the hosts, and they were superb hosts. They really, really took care of Artur and myself there at their house. Fed us very well. We arrived at a little pretty much 11:30 that night, and very nice accommodation as far as sleeping. Wonderful host to us. And Archer said, "Well, I don't know if you ought to talk about that. They're not so they're not so sure about the holy days, some of them." So, but anyway, it was already too late to do anything different, and so that's what I was going to do. And I started. I got up and started speaking. They're very, very receptive to me, and very, very hospitable. The whole group, not just Ivan's and Benjamin. So I started out, and I tried to set up the meaning of the Beatitudes and how important they were in the Sermon on the Mount. Set up the Sermon on the Mount as being a keynote address in Christ's ministry. The keynote address and the importance of a keynote address. And then the very opening lines in that keynote address being the Beatitudes, and each one of the Beatitudes being able to be correlated with one of the holy days. First one, blessed are the poor in spirit. I covered that one. I gave them a little snapshot of that. Can't cover it all, but a little camera snapshot. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, what do we do on the Passover day? The very first of the holy occasions. It's not a holy day itself, but it's a holy occasion. It's all about being poor in spirit. We come in the beginning of the year, that's the beginning of our year, on our knees before God in humility. Blessed are the poor in spirit. So I covered that with them, and I jumped. I only had time. He didn't even have time, but I stretched it anyway. When you're working with a translator, it's not the same as I can stand here and speak to you. I speak to the translator, then I have to wait for the translator to speak to the audience. You got to get your sermon notes to the translator or your sermonette notes to the translator early enough that the translator will be able to take those notes, understand what you're going to say, and if you depend on him, her, or some other person to put those scriptures in the notes in their language so that the translator can read the scriptures in their language while he's translating for you. Those are things that you need to be able to do. And so I had time for one other little snapshot, which I jumped to, blessed are the peacemakers. You know, and I explained how we in the kingdom of God are going to be the peacemakers. And it's the seventh of the eight, correlates with the coming of God's kingdom. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So that's what I did, and that's how it went. And following the sermon, they had a wonderful Sabbath meal. They even went further than we do. They served everybody's plate. They set up the table, and they had everybody's plate all set up. And you just went and sat down, and the plates were really served very nicely. It's a little bit different than we do it, but you know, I might have chosen a little bit differently on the items that were there, and but everybody got the same thing on their plates, and so then they, after the meal, they wanted to ask me some questions, and they started asking questions about what I believe, and what we believe, and what we practice. And then after about 15 minutes of this, Pastor Benjamin says, "Well, we don't mean to be interrogating you." I said, "That's fine. I'm glad to be interrogated because it gives me the opportunity to tell you about what we believe and to help you understand me and who I am." And so that went on for a while, and everybody else now has gone home except this congregation of about 40 people. Everybody by that time had gone home except maybe one of my favorite people there. His name was Vera. I didn't know what Vera meant, but I was introduced as I walked in the door initially to Vera, and Vera means in the Russian language, faith. And she was a faithful old Sabbath keeper from the days of the Soviet Union. And so everybody except Vera and maybe 10 or 15 other people had gone home by the time I had to go catch the bus back, which was, I guess, about 6:30, catching the bus back. But they were very cordial. They invited me to come back. I invited them to consider if they wanted to come to the Feast of Tabernacles, and several signed up a preliminary email, and others, including Pastor Benjamin and Ivans, also asked for more information about it. So I don't know if any of them will, but at least it's a start, and I thought it might be something that you would pray about and think about. And cordial departure, and as I left, I made one more promise. I promised that Hazel would come with me in November to visit them again. Of course, I had no permission from Hazel, but I promised them anyway. So, okay, that's the sermonette, and...